This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today.
We're beginning a new series of messages today called Ingredients of the Abundant Life. And the purpose of this series of messages is to help us to understand what we need to put into the Christian life in order that we can get the results that Jesus wants us to have, which is abundant life, which is prospering in life on every level. Priscilla is a cook. So sometimes, you know, I'll smell something coming out of the kitchen, smells good. But then I'll walk in the kitchen and I'll look in the trash can and there is this bunch of stuff in the trash can that she's been experimenting with and it did not meet her standard. Now I have to tell you, most of the time I look at it and say, look pretty good to me. You know? Amen. But it didn't meet her standard, so it's in the trash can. Now here's the deal. That's fine when you're cooking. You know, you can try a pinch of this and a dab of that and see if it works. But when you are living your life for the abundant life, you don't need to be experimenting with the ingredients. You need to know what you're doing. I remember when I was growing up and going to Bible camp, I learned a little rhyme. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life. Let's see, we only got one time around this thing, amen? We can't afford to be experimenting. We need to know what we're doing. And so we need to find out from the authority what the ingredients are that go into the abundant life. Priscilla has a whole bunch of cookbooks that when she really gets down serious and wants to make sure that she gets it right, she'll go buy the cookbook. Because she wants to get the ingredients right. And if we're going to live the abundant life, we need to know what the ingredients are. Devin, come up here for a moment, would you please? I want to bless Devin. All right? Doesn't he look like a young man who deserves to be blessed? Amen. Amen. So I want to bless him. So Devin, there's a blessing waiting for you. Now here's what you need to do. I want you to walk about 15 paces south, then turn east for about 3 paces, and you'll find your blessing. What's the problem?
Which way?
I'll tell you what, let's just try it this way. Here, put your hand on my shoulder and just follow me, okay? How are you doing? Having a good day?
Yes.
Enjoying the message? Don't answer that. Amen. How you doing, Tina? All right. Great. Good to see you today. All right. Hey, Gordon, how are you doing? Praise the Lord. All right. Devin, why don't you raise the top of that bench for me right there? Go ahead and do that. Would you please? Raise the top. Yeah, there you go. Now look inside of that. What do you see? Hold it up. That's your blessing, my friend. Amen. You close the bench. Have a seat. Now, what I wanted you to see is this. In order for him to get the blessing, I could have stood up here all day trying to explain everything to him. What was the easy way? Devin, follow me. Go where I tell you to go, do what I tell you to do, and the blessing will be there waiting for you. Amen? That's the way Jesus operates. So if we're going to get to the abundant life, it's going to be because we are able to follow Jesus, being obedient to him step by step throughout our lives, because that is the way he will lead us to the abundant life. He does not point and say, it's over there someplace, go figure it out. He says, follow me and I'll take you there. If we want to have abundant life, we need to be following Jesus as close as we can. Amen? We need to be obeying everything he tells us to do on a day-by-day basis in order to reach the abundant life. Go over to Psalm chapter 16, verse 11. Look at this. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The Lord says, look, when you come into my presence, remain in my presence, walk with me, what you will experience is joy and pleasure. Anybody up for joy and pleasure in life today? Amen? That's God's promise. He says, in my presence is what? Fullness of joy. At my right hand are pleasures what? Forevermore. He says, I will show you the path of life. I won't just point it out to you over there someplace. I will take you there. I will show it to you if you follow me. I need to know that I can find the abundant life only by following where Jesus leads. That's point number one. Go over to Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Do you see what Jesus is saying? Look, the way to get to abundant life is we need to follow him. But he says, look, if you're going to follow me, there's a condition attached to this thing. He says, the only way for you to follow me, to be my follower, is that if you're going to come after me, you must first of all deny yourself. He says, take up your cross. What was the cross? What's the significance of the cross? Was the cross a fun place to go? No, the significance of the cross is what? It's the place where you die. It's the place where you die. Jesus is saying this, if we are going to follow him in such a way as to receive the abundant life, our self-life has got to die. We have to deny ourselves in order to take up the cross and follow him. As long as I hold on to my old way of life, doing what I want to do instead of obeying what Jesus tells me to do, I will not have the abundant life. So the only way I can have abundant life is by following Jesus, obeying his commands, so that he can lead me to the abundant life. Here's the second principle I need to know. I will have to overcome strong opposition in order to follow Jesus and obey him and receive the abundant life. I will have opposition when I decide to follow Jesus. How many of you have experienced that in your life? You made up your mind to make a deeper commitment to Jesus, and immediately it seemed like everything started falling apart. Seen that happen? Amen. There will be strong opposition to you following Jesus. There will be strong opposition on a day-by-day basis to you making the decisions that you need to make for Jesus and against your own self-life. Now catch this. Where does that opposition come from? The scripture tells us that we have an enemy. Amen? The devil is our enemy. He will oppose every step we make toward God. But you know what? He's not the biggest enemy. He's not the biggest enemy. You know the thing about the devil? Scripture says he's as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But you know what? If you could just see him, he comes to work as a lion every day, and he gets out there, and he's out in the jungle, and he's looking strong and mighty. But then when he goes home, he takes out his teeth and puts them in a glass jar, takes out his contact lenses and puts them in a case. He is a toothless lion. The devil does not have the power to hold us back. There's only one person in this world that has that power. You know who it is? It's me. And the greatest opposition that I will ever have to following Jesus is myself. Go over to Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. the greatest opposition that I will ever have to me following Jesus and obeying him on a day-by-day basis is my own flesh. It's my own flesh. How many of us are Christians in the room today? You've been saved. Amen. When you got saved, you know what got saved in you? You received a new spirit from God. Hallelujah. That it says you came alive on a, in a spiritual sense. But do you know what did not change? There's an old song that says, I looked at my hands looked new. I looked at my feet and they did too. Ever since that wonderful day, my soul been sad. You remember that, George? Amen. Amen. But catch this. When I got saved, the moment before I got saved, I looked at my hands and they looked like they looked. And the moment after I got saved, guess what? They looked the same way. I ain't going to let you see my feet, but if you could see them, you would know. My feet are just like unsaved feet. Amen? Catch this. When you got saved, the part of you that got saved was your spiritual being. Your flesh did not get saved. Your flesh is the same as it ever was, and it still wants whatever it always wanted. Isn't that right? Amen. Okay, men, honesty time. How many of you used to look at women? When I say look, I don't mean just glance. I mean used to look at women. Come on. Amen. Uh-huh. Amen. All right. Now, let's be honest about this. You saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. A good-looking woman walk in here and your wife is not sitting beside you. Where are your eyes going to go? Guess what? Your eyes don't know they're saved. Your flesh still has the same desires, the same predispositions that it had before you came to Jesus. It still will put the same pressure on you that it did when you were out in the world. And so when you get ready to follow Jesus, the thing that's going to stand in the greatest opposition is your own flesh, because your flesh will say, I want what I want. Give it to me. Go over to Romans chapter 7. We're saved. We desire to follow Jesus. Desire to be obedient to him so that we can have abundant life. But look at what our own flesh will do. Romans chapter 7, starting with verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. What does the word tell us about our own flesh? In our flesh dwells what? No good thing. There is nothing good, there is nothing godly about our flesh. It still wants what it wants, and it doesn't care what God has to say about it. And so if we are going to be able to let Jesus lead us into abundant life because we are following and obeying him, we are going to have to overcome the opposition of our own flesh. Let me show you how this works out in practice. Jesus says, now I want you to follow me in this. I want you to obey me in this. It's going to take you to the abundant life. You need to love your enemies. You need to pray for those who despitefully use you. You need to bless those who curse you. And what does your flesh say? I don't want to do that. They offended me. That they hurt me. I want to hurt them back just like they hurt me. That's what the flesh says. Isn't that right? Jesus said, follow me in this now. I'm going to take you to the abundant life. I want you to have a servant heart. I want you to be willing to think outside of yourself and look at somebody else and see how you can serve them. I want you to be the one that will go to the hospital to visit somebody. I want you to be the one that you see that the church floor needs to be swept and needs to be mopped. And you come and say, Pastor, I'm willing to join that team. I want you to be the one to put your time and your energy and your effort into helping somebody move. And it's going to take you all day. And you got other things to do. But I want you to make the sacrifice. I want you to be a servant. And what does the flesh say? Man, I can't be doing all that stuff. They run me ragged. I mean, if I go out and start doing that kind of stuff with people, they'd be coming at me all the time. In fact, I need somebody to come and help me out. Isn't that what flesh says? Flesh is not looking to serve somebody else. What's flesh looking for? Somebody to serve me. Amen? Jesus said, now look, come on, follow me. I want to take you to the abundant life. What you need to do is to honor God with the first fruits of your increase, the first part of your income. You need to give 10% of that back into the kingdom of God. That's a tithe. So instead of robbing God by holding on to what belongs to him, you need to joyfully give it back into the kingdom of God. I'm taking you to the abundant life now. And what does flesh say? I ain't giving no money to them. I need that for myself. Man, you know, I got bills to pay. I can't be giving that money down to that church. And what's Jesus saying? But I'm just trying to take you to the abundant life. Just trying to take you where you always really wanted to go. Jesus said, I want you to set aside some time every day to get into the Word, meditate on the Word, and pray so that you can draw closer to God, so that you can grow in your fellowship with Him. What does the flesh say? Oh, Lord, I'd love to do that. I really want to do that. Oh, yes, Lord, I really want to do that. But, Lord, have you seen what's on TV? I got to watch TV. How many of you know that the government will not fine you and put you in jail if you don't watch TV at night? Any of you know that? Amen. Now, let me just find out here. How many of us stay up past 11 o'clock watching TV? Kids, what are you doing? We're going to have a talk. Amen. Now, you don't have to raise your hand on this, but just think about it for a moment. How many of us have not spent time in the morning meditating in the Word and in prayer because we just feel like we don't have enough time? I got to get up. I got to get to work. There just doesn't seem to be enough time to do it on a consistent and regular basis. How many of us would have to say that? And how many of us, if the truth be told, would have to say, if I would turn off my TV at night, forego watching whatever it is that I watch, and get up a half hour early in the morning, I would have the time to spend with God. Isn't that right? But what does the flesh say? Man, you got to watch this program. That means the flesh make you think you're going to die if you don't watch that program on TV. Isn't that right? You see, every step that you want to make toward Jesus, toward following him, the flesh will have a reason that you shouldn't make that step because the flesh wants to be gratified. And understand this, the flesh will put pressure on you. It will put continual pressure on you. If you do not learn how to overcome the flesh, how to overcome that pressure that it's going to put on you to do what it wants instead of what God wants, you will never have abundant life. What can make it possible for me to overcome the opposition of my own flesh and choose to obey Jesus in my daily decisions so that I can follow him to the abundant life? Here's point number three. Third principle we need to understand. My ability to follow Jesus and attain abundant life depends on the quality of my commitment to him. My ability to follow Jesus and attain abundant life depends on the quality of my commitment to Him. Let's look at the kind of commitment that Jesus says we need to have when we follow Him. Go back to the passage that we read today, our foundation passage for this message, Luke chapter 14, starting with verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all he has cannot be my disciple. Now that's some deep commitment, isn't it? Look at what Jesus says. I want all of you. That's what he's saying. I want all of you. I don't want you to have any divided loyalties. When he talks about hating mother, father, sister, and brother, he doesn't mean what we talk about when we say hate. What he means is this: whenever there is any conflict between what God wants and what somebody else wants, who wins? There's no competition. There's no contest. If it ever becomes a choice between my mother and Jesus, sorry, Mom, I love you, but I love Jesus more. If it ever becomes a contest between my wife and Jesus, Priscilla, I love you with all my heart, but I love Jesus more. See, that's what he's talking about. There can't be any divided loyalties here. He's saying, I want you to make a total, absolute commitment above anybody and anything else. In fact, he says, I want you to make a commitment to me that's above your commitment to yourself. He says, you've got to hate your own life. You've got to be willing to say, Jesus, if there ever comes an issue where it's a choice between what you want and what I want for myself, I have to choose against myself. See, we've got to come to the point where that's the kind of commitment that we have if we're going to be able to overcome the opposition of our flesh. Total commitment, absolute commitment to nobody but Jesus. I'm not a jewelry kind of person. I've never worn very much jewelry. If you ever see me with an earring, you'll know the rapture has come or something. I don't. I'm just not a jewelry kind of person. But there is one piece of jewelry I always wear. Amen? This ring. Why? Because it speaks of an absolute commitment in my life. It reminds me of that commitment. But perhaps just as importantly, ladies, it reminds you, when you see this good-looking hunk of man, it reminds you that I already have an absolute total commitment to somebody else. Amen? I have an acquaintance, another minister who started a church here in Harrisburg a few years ago. This guy has a very charismatic personality, and he started his church and it began to grow. It's doing well. But you know something? There was something wrong with the quality of his commitment to his wife. And something else that was good looking and had nice perfume and probably had a nice personality. Most important of all was telling him how good he was. Amen. Somebody else came along. And the flesh said, I want her. And the bottom line is, I don't even know where the brother is now. He's not in Harrisburg any longer. I do know this. He lost his wife and his church. And that is not the abundant life. And where was the breakdown? It was in the area of commitment. The only way that you can receive the blessing that Jesus has in store for you is you've got to be so committed that your flesh cannot push you off track. It is your commitment to Jesus that's going to hold your flesh back and allow you to follow him. Now understand this. This works in every area of life. You see, there will never be a competition between Priscilla and Jesus in my life. But catch this. Because I am committed to Jesus, I am more committed to her than I ever would have been if it was just on how I happen to be feeling at the moment. See, I'm going to treat her the way Jesus commands me to treat her, whether I feel like it or not. And therefore, she gets the overflow of my commitment to Jesus. Well, here's the principle that we need to adhere to in terms of commitment to Jesus. I will never do what I do in spite of my commitment to Jesus, but I will always do what I do because of my commitment to Jesus. See, the commitment that I need to make with myself and with God is, Lord, from this moment forward, because of my total commitment to Jesus Christ as the Savior and the Lord of my life, I will not do anything in spite of being committed to him. I will do whatever I do because I am committed to him. And if it's not something that I can do because I know he would want me to do it, I will not do it. This is the challenge today. Are you ready to make that kind of commitment to Jesus Christ? Lord, I know that my flesh is going to put pressure on me every day to do things that will gratify me. Lord, it'll feel good if I do that. It'll feel good if I go to this particular place. It'll feel good if I tell this person off because of what they said to me. It'll feel good if I drink this or if I inject that. Lord, I know it'll feel good, but I have made the decision. My flesh is no longer my Lord. And so, Lord, I make this commitment to you today. From this moment forward, I will not do anything in spite of my commitment to you, but I will do everything that I do because of my commitment to you.